Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
And now it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the TagCast Podcast. I am Gatch.
And I am Terry, the white guy.
And we are co-hosts and we're without invisible Jeff Simpson today.
Yeah, we noticed on the last couple episodes he wasn't turning his mouth towards the microphone, yep. So you couldn't really hear him talking anyway. So we'll
we have him locked in the garage.
We'll talk to him from time to time and then we'll just pretend that we can't hear what he's saying. So, yeah, it's Friday. How's everybody, all you TagCasters,
Friday.
Doing out there? We're glad you guys are listening. This is fun enough to me that I would do it if nobody downloaded it anyway.
Yeah, why not?
I like to listen to
I'd
myself
download
talk.
It.
And in case anyone's wondering, this is our second episode in a row where we started with a little Kaya soundbed. Those guys are fighting. And if you want to hear the story about lawsuits between former bandmates, just go back and listen to episode 8.
I've noticed we've had quite a bit of activity of going back into the past and downloading our earlier episodes. I'd like to thank our listeners for that.
But yeah, I think some people come along and they come to the page and they see what's on the top and they listen to the first episode and they're like, hey, this is kind of funny. We were going to do this separately, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we got a couple little ad copies that we want to do. We got some actual sponsors. We mentioned on the last episode, we got a sponsor in the Dixie Creek Saloon.
Yes. Yeah, so
they've agreed to sponsor us for
Dixie Creek.
4 shows, Jake Payne and those guys out there. And,
Cascade Rye, that's a great band too.
We pretty much promote those guys anyway because we love the place. We talked about it a lot on the last episode with our episode 8 with Chris Castles.
They book live music there all the time, and if you're a band looking for a place out of town, most likely they are out of your town.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
And, they're real friendly to musicians.
And I don't even know if we mentioned on the last episode, now that I think back, 2 days, that's a long time to remember, but I don't think we mentioned where it is. It's in Tangent, which is about 5 miles south of Albany on Highway 99E. Yeah. The address is actually 32994 Highway 99E.
You head south on from Albany on the Highway 99. You can't miss it.
No, you go past the freeway overpass there, and it's just about a mile past. It's on the right if you're headed south. So it's on the west side of the highway. It's the only thing basically in the town.
Yeah.
Besides the Rose House, which is the rockin' after party place. And if you guys do have a show at the Dixie, you could probably be involved in a little after party action across the tracks there.
Yeah.
It's a good place, the Dixie Creek Saloon. They serve breakfast weekdays. They open at 7 a.m. I think they're open till 10. And then on the weekends, they're open till 2:30. They open at noon on Saturdays. No, 10 on Saturdays and noon on Sundays. And they got live music 3 days a week at least. They got ladies' night on Fridays.
They'll play some rock and then some metal down there, too.
And they got good food.
Yeah.
Great service.
Love their bacon cheeseburgers.
Shout out to Jeannie, the number one bartender.
Heck yeah.
No offense to any other bartenders. They're all great. But Jeannie's the she's not the man. She's the lady.
Yep.
She's the girl. But yeah, so we're going to do a couple shout-outs to these other people. You want to start this? You got a copy or not?
No, but I can read it from there. Yeah, you got a super fan videos.
You guys have ever been to shows at Dixie, you've seen this dude.
Yeah, Jared Nelson, he takes tons of, he goes to tons of shows in the area.
I think he has almost 200 videos on his YouTube page already.
Nice. Yeah, but you guys should go down and check out if you want to see what it's like in the local scene with videos. Go and check out his YouTube channel at sickdaddy.com/superfan.
And we pretty much don't even have to tell you what he looks like because if you see a dude there and he's filming right in the front, that's probably Jared.
Yep.
And then if you want to see the videos you're watching him film, just go to his YouTube page.
Yeah.
Or go to sickdaddy.com/superfan. So, yeah, that's one. And then we got this other ad. It's for our buddies in Paper Train.
Paper Train.
We're going to be playing a show with them at the end of the month.
Yeah.
On the 30th at the Dixie.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show.
And they're looking for a little bit of support here. We want you guys to help Paper Train get to the Live, Loud, and Local Musical Festival in Portland. They're selling tickets for $10, and every ticket that you buy from them helps them get there. It's 20 bands, $10. I mean, how can you go wrong?
I know.
That's like, what, $2 a band?
Yeah. No, 50 cents a band.
Oh, Dude, I'm not very good with math, but yeah. Check out Paper Train. They're a band.
You can find them on Facebook, buy the tickets directly from them, and help them out.
And yeah, I was getting some messages from him earlier. They might be looking for a bass player, but that's...
Breaking news.
Yeah. Don't know if that's for sure. So if you're the bass player of Paper Train and you're listening to this, don't take offense. You're not kicked out of the band. I don't even know what's going on, but
this
I just heard they got
some
festivals coming up.
This isn't a plug. But it's coming up, the Country Fair.
I will be there.
Yeah, you work over there. You've been working there for years, right?
This will be my 9th year working security at the Country Fair.
Wow, and what's that like?
It's awesome. It's like Jared the Superfan.
Yeah?
It's awesome. He's awesome. It's pretty cool because I work internal security, which means I work inside the fair. But I work from midnight to 6, which is the graveyard shift where there's no actual public civilians. I mean,
yeah, you know,
the fair is so huge that our fair family is over 3,500 people.
Wow.
That stay there for the whole weekend. And so when everyone gets swept out at 7 o'clock, which is a bummer because like my friends come and they pay like an exorbitant amount of money, $25 to get in and then be swept out at 7 o'clock just when the party's getting started.
Maybe you should mention really quick what the Country Fair is for those that might not know.
Any of you people from Australia or Idaho might not know, but most people in Oregon know, and it kind of got a bad name as the hippie fair. It's called the hippie fair. It used to be a Renaissance fair in the late 60s, early 70s, and then it kind of developed into still a Renaissance fair. There's just booths. It's not a fair like a county fair. There's no rides. There's just booths.
It's like booths and juggling acts.
They sell stuff. There's music. There's like probably 50 music stages. Mm-hmm. So there's always different stuff going on, acoustic
acts.
And
you're always walking in trails.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing, actually. And it kind of got a bad name as being like just a drugged-out hippie fest. And
pretty big.
It's changed, though. It's not really like that. It's more family-oriented. And, of course, we do have a good time out there. But it's great. I get to camp for free, which is usually $50. I get a 24/7 access to all of the fairgrounds, which is about $25 a day for 3 days. So. Yeah. And then I get like $20 in food vouchers each day so I can eat free food and I can just troop around. We sleep a little bit in the morning and it's a good time. I can't plug it in the fact that I can say come out because I would not pay $25 to go out there. It's so crowded. They have a turnout of about 50,000 people.
And it's hot. It's always hot.
And there's dust and like you're just crammed in. Hey, there he is right there. It's dusting out there. No, it's dusty. It's dusty out there.
It is.
Don't call Dustin Dusty because he doesn't prefer that as a nickname.
You know, sometimes it gets so crowded there that you might get brushed up against some naked woman's painted boobies.
Yeah.
Which if you're into that, you know, maybe you want to go and pay the $25.
Me and my crew leader, Lodestone, we always have a contest that we try to count as many naked boobs that we see while we're there, but we always lose count like within the first hour or so.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird because, you know, they go there to these painting stations and they have their boobs painted. So you can't see their nipples. It kind of just looks like a bikini, like body painting.
Yeah.
But they don't have an age limit. And so I know some girls look older than they are these days.
Probably a good 10 years
and some
of like,
girls,
where you're not going to know.
Some girls look younger than they are, but I could swear that some of these girls that are parading around with their boobies out are like 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, so you almost got to have like a, if you look.
So like you got to keep your blinders on because if you accidentally look, wow, that's an awesome picture of two flowers on your chest. I'm not staring at your breast. I'm staring at that neon green red thing that's jumping out at me going, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, you need to get one of those shirts when you go that's, I'm not going to look at your breasts if you look under 30 or something like that, you know, just to be safe.
I think that they should have a painting station where they don't paint flowers and pretty stuff. They just paint like black, like a square, like would be on a t-shirt that says, stop looking at my boobs.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm only 13.
You got any paint?
Yeah, maybe I could start my own booth.
Or
there,
they have the little ratings in the corner, the E.
Yeah. So here's my first subject that I wanted to hit on. You're familiar with the band High on Fire?
Yes, I am.
I love those guys.
I heard a little bit about it.
Matt Pike, he used to be in the band Sleep, and yeah, they were
a great band.
High on Fire was scheduled to be playing at the Mayhem Festival, which is Slayer, Slipknot, Anthrax, Motorhead.
I saw that they were on that
They are not on it anymore.
Really?
They had to pull out because Matt Pike is going to rehab for alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he just did a lot of touring with Sleep, and he's always been quite a drinker and a partier. You know, it kind of comes
with
the territory.
I'll support that man if he's going in to get it taken care of and stuff and wants to.
Yeah, I've seen no negative comments about anybody saying, well, that's bullshit. I've seen only positive, supportive comments saying, great to see. And, you know, it's sad to see that we won't see him on the bill.
Yeah.
But glad to see that Matt is getting. Well, his last name's Pike.
Yeah.
Matt Pike. I can just call him Mike. Yeah.
You're just combining the names.
Mike. Matt Pike. No. They're glad to see that Mike is getting... Mike. Fucking... Get on the mic. Get on the mic.
Yeah, we want to see Matt get a quick recovery and get back up on the mic.
Who's Matt? Matt Pike? Oh, okay, yeah. So he's going to rehab. So anybody...
You mean Pat Mike?
Anybody who wanted to see... High on Fire, you're going to have to wait a little while. They're taking
those guys are
hiatus.
Awesome, though, man.
They are awesome.
I love listening to their albums. That's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah. And I actually got introduced to them. I went up to see Yob in 2006 as Yob was opening for High on Fire, and I'd never even heard High on Fire. Boo for me. You know what? We were supposed to have a segment on the show.
Yeah.
Called What is in Hans's CD Player?
Yeah, What is in Hans's CD Player?
He told me, just text me when you guys are doing the show. Right. He didn't get back to me, the little bastard.
Oh, really?
The little troll. But I will tell you that I asked him the question the other day, and he answered me with a couple bands one band that I hadn't heard of in particular called Pallbearer.
Pallbearer.
I think that's a comedian.
Is this the guy from the wrestling?
No, this is a band.
With The Undertaker?
Nope.
Ron Palmer.
Yeah. Maybe we could start talking about pro wrestling.
We should.
Because my friend's podcast, that's what they talk about wrestling and music. We talk about comedy and music.
Yeah.
So maybe we could steal their idea.
Everything else.
Pro wrestling. Listen here, brother. Now, I used to watch that stuff when I was a kid.
Too.
Me and Bobby used to watch it a lot, as a matter of fact.
I went to a lot of extravaganzas up in Portland.
I went to like two, they came to Central Inn High School when I was in school, and Playboy Buddy Rose, Superfly Jimmy Snuka,
Matt Bourne.
Dutch Savage was actually there.
Yeah.
If anybody knows anything about Portland wrestling,
what, Matt Bourne, Rip Oliver.
Rip Oliver, and I remember that trio. I guess it was Matt Pike. No,
I used to have quite a large collection of the autographs by those guys.
What happened to them? Lost them over the years?
In some storage unit.
Isn't that
auctioned
funny?
Auctioned off on Storage Wars.
Funny and sad where you go to all these links to get these autographs.
But they toured all over to every high school, it seemed like. They were really heavy into the touring on the weekends.
Got to get that audience.
It was really accessible just to go up there. I mean, they would, before WWE and WWF, there was so many independent wrestlers that you could have a local extravaganza in Portland and bring in Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and all these guys independently without it having to be a WrestleMania show.
Right.
I'd see the Road Warriors and Sergeant Slaughter take on the Russians in a steel cage.
Remember the Bushwhackers?
Yeah.
The Sheep Herders?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm wondering now, you know, it's went from WWE, or it was WWF first, right?
Yeah.
So they're going backwards. If WWF, WWE, what is this going to be next?
WD-40.
WD-40. WD-40, that's good stuff. keeps you squeaky clean.
Yeah,
you know what WD-40 is?
What is it?
Well, you know what it stands for, yeah. The name?
Yeah.
Water Displacer, yeah. 40.
Yeah, 40th try or something, right?
Yeah. I had some other people talking, and they were saying that this guy said his name was, I think you saw it on my Facebook post.
Yeah.
They said that the guy's name was something that was WD. I don't
you know. You know where they came up with the A1?
Uh-uh.
I don't know either.
Maybe that was the best.
Have you ever watched those ugliest dog contests?
No, I didn't know such a thing existed.
Oh man, you got! I think it's even on. I don't know. It might be Animal Planet, but it could be ESPN. But they just show the ugliest dogs are always hairless. They got, well, except for maybe like 10 hairs on the top of their head.
Weird.
And there are tongues.
Do they win something for being so gross?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's like a huge competition, like as big as dog fairs.
As like dog shows?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dog show. This is Rocky Balboa.
It is. And, you know, they got out the red carpet for them, but they're always just skinny. They look like they should be.
Do they look like they should be on the commercial with Sarah McLachlan?
Oh, man. They should be something.
Do you hate that fucking commercial where she comes on?
I've seen it.
Oh, it just shows the most malnourished, worst-looking little dogs, and it plays the sad music. And Sarah McLachlan is saying, wouldn't you like to help these poor animals? This many animals get killed, and this many animals starve, and this poor animal has nowhere to take a poop.
Can't you just
Could
be happy with a little affair?
Send us some money. Send us some money. So I had something written down here. I was going to talk about our Facebook likes. We're up to 53 likes.
That's awesome.
Yesterday it was 50. I said, let's double it.
Yep. Kinda like and we doubled it to 53.
Yeah, we doubled it to 53. No, but I'm trying to go on here. It's not working out that well for me here. But I was going to try to share with some of the people who like us. But it doesn't like to come up on my...
Well, we got a mailbag segment we can go through, right? We've had some... People send us some stuff.
We did. We've been asking questions for, this is episode 9, and we had never really got anything, but we got something from a guy. I don't even think he lives around here.
Adrian Bacon Farrell?
Yeah, Adrian. Is he from around here?
He's a big fan. I don't think so.
Okay, well, I think we covered it on on episode 8 about the Trailer Park Boys. We got into a little conversation about that. But
we'll bring more for sure.
Did you happen to write down the other questions he had?
He's a big fan of Bacon. I think his middle name actually is Bacon.
That's weird. But I know that he asked you if you had any recipes that involved bacon.
He asked for bacon tips, and I have a bacon tip.
I like the whole piece of bacon, not just the tip.
Well, you make it really crispy and then crumple it up and put it in your brownie batter.
Wow.
For a sweet, salty snack, which is awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And cornbread. You can put it in cornbread, too, just like that.
Wow.
Kick up some bacon stuff. So there's a bacon tip.
That's pretty good. He asked about video games, too, and we talked about that on a few episodes again. I'm not really a video game
head. No, but you used to back in the day, right?
We talked about it.
What games
that I finished were like Sonic the Hedgehog on Sega. Uh-huh. I'd play it for hours.
Nice.
Shout out to Derek Terrell for letting me borrow his Sega for like 6 months to where I could finish Sonic the Hedgehog. And then, you know, I had Nintendo 64.
Uh-huh.
Kids have Xbox. I had a PlayStation PS1, I believe.
Yeah.
Never got into the PS2 or spending $400 or $500 on a gaming system, but... Yeah. They're fun. I think we mentioned last time they're too big.
And I've talked to you about it before. You know,
too
you always said that you like video games, but you spent your time more focusing on playing guitar.
Yeah, and as of late, just all kinds of things, doing comedy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Writing comedy, trying to make funny stuff.
I used to play. I haven't played so much lately. You know, I used to play some sports games, and every once in a while, I'll play the Madden.
My wife recently got a Wii for her birthday.
Nice.
In February, so I did play a little bit of that. I got into I wanted to get the Tiger Woods golf because I got kind of addicted to the Wii golf. It's only 9 holes and it's always the same course.
Yeah, that stuff's fun, especially multiplayer.
But dude, I got to where we got the little golf club thing that you put the thing into, and I was getting 6-7 under par.
Nice.
On a 9 hole, I was getting pretty good at it.
Tiger Woods games are actually pretty fun, and if you buy it for the Wii, the last one I bought for the Wii had disc golf on there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy disc golf in real life better than regular golf, but
yeah,
I'm sure it would be just as awesome on the Wii. Yeah. And then he asked, it's funny because he's the only person that asked any question. He asked
a ton.
How to break into porn with a 2-inch penis. Then it said, I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, yes.
Which I don't really know if that's true. I've got this friend that I know and he has a 2-inch penis.
You just got to go with the weights probably, right?
Stretching it out?
Yeah. You know,
nope.
I mean,
the answer, sir, Mr. Adrian Bacon Farrell.
Oh, did you look it up?
No, but I have it in my mind.
Oh, okay.
Big dick pills.
Big dick pills.
Just listen to anybody who knows anything. The big dick pills. Big dick pills are the answer to your small penis problems.
Is this a sponsor?
It might be. I don't actually think that there's a company called Big Dick Pills. It's kind of like a what do you call it? A blanket over the whole industry of Cialis, Viagra, rockhardweekend.com. Hey, maybe you guys could sponsor us if something comes up. There's a lot of stiff competition out there, but no, I don't think there might be. There seems to me that there is a genre or a fetish for everything.
I was just going to say.
You got your hairy pussies.
Yeah.
You got your little penises.
There probably, it is a fetish for...
Maybe they could have midgets having sex with people with small penises.
They could. Or maybe the fetish is like watching somebody look for it, like trying to find it.
Hmm.
Speaking of such... oddities. You watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Have you ever seen that?
You know, I have watched quite a few episodes of it, but I don't watch it nearly enough that I want. Let me rephrase that. I don't watch it nearly as much as I'd like to.
Have you seen the dick towel episode?
I don't believe so.
Where they have this towel that wraps around. It's like a large beach towel. And he's got it tucked in, and it's got screen printed on there. It's just a little tiny penis. And the guy walks in and he's like, what is that? And the thing is you fold it the other way and it's got...
Oh, I did see that. I did see that.
Weighing on it. And then you actually go to dicktowel.com. You can buy that.
I did see that episode now that you've refreshed my memory.
Damn it,
yes.
I'm giving out free plugs to dicktowel.com.
That's awesome. Maybe we could get sponsored by Dick Towel.
I know. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, that's funny. It comes in brown too.
Are those bigger?
I think they might have ladies ones too. If not, they should.
I think so. It seemed like the brown ones would be bigger.
Yeah. Maybe it's the big saggy tits or something.
Could be. Now, even though we mentioned this, I don't mind mentioning again, he asked about the Trailer Park Boys, and in parentheses it says, if you've seen it. Now, let me tell you something, Mr. Adrian Bacon. I love the fact that you gave us some questions and some comments, but I wish I could say I've been loving the Trailer Park Boys
bark.
Since 2001 when they came out, but no. I got introduced to it in 2005 from my good friend Phil Golding, a musical companion of mine for many years. And
level 25 guitar wizard.
That's right.
Yep. Maybe he's leveled up since then.
And I think he does like 150 damage with a S.G. Gibson. Yeah, it's pretty badass. But anyway, he told me about this show, and he was playing in this band with me called Domesticide.
Uh-huh.
And all summer long, he was one to make jokes about the Trailer Park Boys and talk with his buddies about the Trailer Park Boys, but his buddies had never heard of the Trailer Park Boys. So he was grand enough to burn onto a DVD season 3 of the Trailer Park Boys, and he had told me, and Kevin told me too, because he got to watch it first. Kevin being Kevin Warren from Domesticide also told me this is going to be your new favorite show. And when someone tells you that, it almost kind of says, what?
You don't want it to be your
next favorite
show.
You're like, how do you know what my favorite is? But it sure enough was. My dad said it best when it's like, I know these guys. I grew up with these guys. I've been where these guys are, you know. And
proving once again that Father Knows Best.
That's right. So I went back and watched all the early episodes of Father Knows Best. No, I didn't. I watched all the, then I just became like,
classic.
I don't know what it was. It just, Kevin was right. Phil was right.
It's a great show. It took me, I had to watch, you said you started off with season 3.
Well, he told me it was easier to start there.
I think it is because
they've gotten their groove.
Pat lent me what 1 and 2 and I watched the first few episodes and then I didn't watch it for like 3 or 4 weeks.
And that's exactly.
And then I forced myself to watch it because he wanted it back. And he was kind of guilt-tripping me about it. And I'm like,
Because anybody who owns Trailer Park DVDs knows that you can't go too long without them. As a matter of fact, anybody listening out there who borrowed my seasons 1 and 2 recently, I have such a wonderful memory. I can't remember who I loaned it to, but it's on loan.
That's why you don't loan things.
I know. That's why you don't leave notes.
Another. That's why you don't teach people lessons.
That's another, from the one-armed
another
man.
Comment that we had was about a previous episode about when we were talking about public urination. And Mike Voss said, in some states, public masturbation is less of a fine than public urination. So not only if you're going to piss in public, should you might as well shit, you might as well masturbate too.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I would feel more uncomfortable masturbating in public than peeing.
Yeah, but maybe that's why it's a less of a fine.
Just think if you were like coming around the corner or coming, you were coming. Just say you were standing around the corner coming, and then a cop came around the corner and he caught you. You'd be like, "What am I doing? Oh, I'm coming."
Why is it whenever anything's happening around the corner, I'm always at the Black Forest? It seems like in my head. I got the perfect around the back corner.
It's always just around the corner.
It is.
Yeah, well, maybe we could get them guys to sponsor us as well.
Speaking of past episodes, a few episodes ago you talked about, we were talking about SOD, right? Remember
that? Yeah, we came clean with my jacket story about how I stole the jacket.
And you mentioned that you bought it in 1984 on vinyl.
Yep, I still have it.
What was that experience like as far as, like, was that your introduction to metal?
No, I had actually bought Fistful of Metal. Here's the deal. Me and my friend Wade Mock went into the Record Garden, which started in Lebanon. Remember the Record Garden or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then they moved to Eugene because they were getting too big for their Lebanon britches. So they moved down to Eugene. We used to, every time we'd get any money, we'd cruise down to the Record Garden and just like walk through there. And look, they had the coolest posters and T-shirts and all the hip records that, you know.
Postcards?
That weren't in Fred Meyer's or, you know, not the records that you see in regular stores. So we went in there, and I think I might have shared this story before. We said, hey, what's the most heaviest, hardcorest, heavy metal record that you have that just came out? And they said, this one, Fistful of Metal by Anthrax, which kind of looked like a cartoon drawing of Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power, but it was like 10 years prior.
And it looked pretty metal, right?
Yeah, and they put it on, and I don't know if you're, excuse me, I don't know if you're familiar with the first song. It's called Death Rider, and it has this weird sound effect that's like, and then it just just fucking lays in. Anyway, so I got that. Loved it, and then I looked into it with, you know, you couldn't go on the internet back then, so we were probably looking in Hit Parader magazine or wherever you look, Cream magazine, heavy metal magazines, and found out that they had a side project called SOD. And then I asked Mike about it, who was the metal guru. He actually did the Metal Zone on KZL, and he told me about it, and I just bought it because he told me to buy it. And plus, it had a kick-ass looking cover.
Yeah.
And that's what the deal was with records back then. It was 12 inches across and 12 inches high. It was a big piece of art. And you're like, man, that looks so awesome. It probably sounds really cool, too.
Then they went to really small on the tapes.
Yeah.
And then the long boxes.
We were talking about this, not we, but me and someone else, about, remember when CDs first came out and they had those long cardboard boxes? I used to cut those apart and, like, fold them out and, like, put them on my wall like a poster. I still got, like, Deicide and Sepultura Arise on my wall and my bedroom upstairs.
There was kind of a controversy, I remember, when those came out because they were, like, you know.
It was a waste.
It was a waste from their thing, but collectors liked them. Because, you know,
I loved
it was art. Yeah, it was art that you could hang up on your wall or do whatever you wanted with. But their argument was, well, CDs are going to be cheaper. And they never were.
No.
Not once.
Nope.
They actually raised the price. It was like all of a sudden they were $18 instead of like $15 after the long boxes came out because they had to buy all those little plastic pieces of shit.
Right.
For security, so it actually wasn't saving any space at all.
Nope. And then it was years later until the prices came down. Like
I'm on hot.
He's.
It was the internet that really brought
him in
down.
A tizzy.
So what I was originally going to ask you, I thought I was addressing a question from Jared Nelson about what got you into metal. And mine was Shadow of the Devil from my cousin. He just gave it to me. I think I was 8 when that came out, and that was I just kept spinning that over and over, and then I called my mom a bastard. And yeah.
And you should consider that bastard dead.
Yeah.
No, I was lucky enough or unlucky enough to be a little older, so my parents and my parents were pretty liberal, and they had a lot of music in the house, and I was introduced to what later was called heavy metal, like Led Zeppelin and Ted Nugent and Aerosmith and stuff like that. So I was already listening to that as a child. And then, like, I started hearing, I'm trying to think of what I heard first that was, like, actually metal, or Iron Maiden, probably.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess it depends on what you would call metal.
It's, I mean, there was Kiss and stuff, which was kind of heavy metal, and my cousin had a big part of having a huge record collection.
Uh-huh.
I talked about him before, my cousin Joe, who used to roll me down the hill in a tractor tire from a previous episode, but, I thought that it was just okay when I was like 7 years old to go to my aunt's house, which is his mom's house, which was his house because he was my cousin and we were teenagers, to just go to his house and help myself to about 50 of his records and take them home with
me. Times are different then, right?
Yeah, and that's what the first time I learned the phrase sticky fingered, which I thought was just a record by the Rolling Stones. And he said, I heard your mom, my mom told me you came down and got a little sticky fingered to all my records. And I was like... I didn't take no Rolling Stones record. He's like, no, you took that. He goes, that means stealing shit.
Brown sugar.
He's like, that means, and that's when I learned that being sticky fingers means you're stealing shit. It doesn't mean you just got done masturbating in public. But,
or that you just got done rubbing vagina.
So you got him and you got my parents, keeping me influenced. It's kind of hard rock and heavy metal, but. High school, there was AC/DC, which was more metal. And then, I guess friends in school. Motley Crue was one of them for sure. Yeah. We liked Black Sabbath, and so we were into Dio, which was 83. First real metal. I mean, I went to see
Dokken.
Sammy Hagar, and that's not really metal to me.
Yeah.
I think it was
maybe
back
then. Yeah, I
think
metal's a real loose category anymore. You know,
Sammy Hagar's more rock, I think. But my first metal concert,
metal mix.
I actually won tickets on the Metal Zone on KZL. Al Scott, who's still in local radio. I think he's 97.
Shout out.
Al Scott. And so the question was, name the four members of Motley Crue.
Oh, nice.
For tickets to Raven, Anthrax, and the Wild Dogs at the Starry Nightclub.
I love Raven.
April 11th. Wait. God, I'm fucked up.
You're so fucked up right now. Wake up, dude.
Dude, what happened?
Dude, you passed out.
I think I fell asleep. I left for a minute because I was watching this video. Have you seen this video?
I have not. Is this... What is this?
Oh, it's called Two Girls, One Cup.
What?
Look. Dude, look. Okay, it's over. I was so fucked up that I fucking passed out. Right before I passed out, I was talking about how I won free tickets to go see Anthrax and Raven. And because we were trying to answer the question of Jared, the superfan, of what got me into metal. And so, when I passed out, dude, I went into like a dream state.
Yeah.
And I just dreamt that we kept talking for like 25
it
more
just,
minutes.
Yeah, it just felt like a weird little trance
and
there.
So if I say anything that I might have already said before, that might be because...
No, we were talking about you went to that show, right?
Yeah.
You got the Raven tickets.
Because Sammy Hagar wasn't metal, and Raven was. And that's when a friend that had all the tapes. Dan Morgan was a good friend of mine, still is. He recently got his college degree, and he's been busy with school, so he hasn't been out to shows lately, but he used to come to shows quite often.
Nice.
And he was a big part of my getting to hear a cool metal that I'd never heard of, because he had a weekend job with his dad and worked summers, and he would buy all kinds of tapes that he'd never heard of, like Grave Digger.
So I had money to introduce you guys.
Yeah, so like, here comes Dan Morgan with Metallica, Kill 'Em All. And I'm like, what's this? And he's like, you gotta check out this Four Horsemen song. It's like badass, you know? And so then that just inspired me. Well, it didn't inspire me. I could only buy a few new records because I was lazy and I
but
spent
all my...
He was
able to introduce all you guys to various new kinds.
Yeah. And then he started getting into, he was buying Black Flag and the Dead Kennedys, and then New Wave started coming along
stuff.
And he's buying Flock of Seagulls.
The Cars, maybe.
No, I was into the Cars before I was into metal. As a matter of fact, the Cars was the very first album that I bought with my own money.
Wow.
The very first Cars album that has Good Times Roll.
That's a good one. You know what mine is?
Uh-uh.
Huey Lewis and the News Sports.
Wow. With the Heart of Rock and Roll?
Yep. Wow. It is still beating. If you listen to the song,
I bought that tape myself. I don't know why now, but it was pretty hip to be square.
That was a little later on. I wasn't quite still into
that. And I don't know if
any... Tower of Power, they were on that. I saw those guys a couple times, I think, down at the local park.
Yeah. The River Rhythms?
Yeah.
I saw Pablo Cruz there.
That would be fucking awesome.
I found my place in the sun. And then we took my wife's mother because she was a big Pablo Cruz fan. And it's funny
my sister had the
records. I don't know if it's Pablo or Pablo. It just depends on what region you're from. But I call it Pablo Cruz because I'm from Tennessee, goddammit. But
Pueblo, Colorado,
they were selling those jerseys that were gray with the maroon sleeves that Will Ferrell wore in Step Brothers. You know, because that was, I think, a big push for Pablo Cruz.
It probably was.
Yeah. If Will Ferrell likes Pablo, if they like Pablo Cruz, I like Pablo Cruz. But Pablo Cruz isn't really that metal. But I've seen tons of shows that aren't metal. But, you know, and getting into metal at that age, it's so, like, that's such an impressionable age. You know, a lot of people at that point in their life when they're coming of age at 13 to 17 or whatever age bracket you consider yourself coming of age, you're listening to a lot of top 40 usually when you're a kid,
mm-hmm.
because that's what you hear and that's what your parents let you listen to or whatever.
Yeah, it's what's on the radio.
So then that's kind of in you. Well, for me, it was in me. It was metal. And although I love all kinds of music from Frank Zappa to ABBA, mm-hmm. from ZZ Top to... Not Bryan Adams. I don't know why that came to my mind. But I used to rock
Adam
out to Bryan
Adams.
Adam and the Ants. Yes. That was something that was new wave going on. But
the Aardvarks. Is there an Aardvarks band?
I don't believe so. You're thinking of a AA band?
Yeah. AA
Batteries. Yeah, that's a band. That's a band from way back. But, you know, talking about metal and Metallica,
yeah,
I didn't get into this in my dream state, but I was reading about Metallica's almost got their new album written.
Uh-huh.
James Hetfield claims to have over 800 riffs for the new Metallica album.
That he's recording and putting on the album?
No.
Or he's just collected a
book?
He's
written 800 riffs for this album to choose. They have a pool of 800 riffs. Now,
so
Kirk
what you're
Hammett,
saying is he recorded 800 riffs and they're just going to plug them in?
I don't know. No, no. They'll probably make them into songs. That'd be funny if they just clicked riffs together.
Why not? It would be
They could call the album. They could just call it 800 riffs. No, but and Kirk Hammett was feeling a little bit.
He only wrote 200.
He only had 400.
What?
He had 400.
They were having a contest.
Well, they didn't say that.
How much did my brother Robert Trujillo get?
He gets no riffs. They don't. He's not allowed to be riffing.
Man,
he's the Indian of the group.
He is.
He's like, dude, you're suicidal.
Me,
you're infectious grooves, dude. You
are
just
the brother
bassist.
Of I and James Smith from We Have Guns.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's your older uncle.
Yeah,
he's kind of your big uncle.
I want to go into Izzy's and demand and say I'm Robert Trujillo.
So Kirk Hammett said that even though James Hetfield might have 800 riffs, probably only 50 of them will make it to the album. 50 riffs. And 10, so I guess that's about right. 5 songs a riff.
Yeah.
Metallica used to have 800 riffs in one song. Like with, what album? Justice for All with the 8-minute opus and it's 85
they
riffs.
Did it. That one was pretty lengthy.
Yeah, they had
that
a lot of long
use
songs.
Your illusion.
They should have released it as a double album. Huh? Yeah, that
the
was
songs
just.
In half.
That's all I wrote down. Hetfield has 800 riffs.
Well, we hadn't done this segment in a while.
Hey, it auto-corrected and it says Rift.
We haven't done this segment in a while. What the fuck is up with that song, have we?
No, I think we only did it once and it was Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah, that song.
What the fuck is up with that song?
Well, what the fuck is up with this song, the one that says, just like a one-winged dove sings a song, sounds like it's singing. Of course it's going to sound like it's fucking singing. It's singing a goddamn song.
I can identify with a one-winged dove. I'm a one-legged person.
What?
And to be honest, you know, not to correct you, but when I was a child, I also thought it was the one-winged dove that sang the song that sounded like it was singing. Ooh, baby, ooh, I said ooh. But then I got the record, Belladonna, mm-hmm. by Stevie Nicks. Go to Amazon and get it. You could click on the link on our page, Tagcast Podcast, and go to Amazon and buy Stevie Nicks' Belladonna. And in the inside of the record I bought, I had the lyrics, and I was shocked to see that it was a white-winged dove.
What?
White. What?
So
it was a what-winged dove.
Is that redundant to say white and dove?
Well, I think some white doves might have orange wings. Or
it's
yellow.
It's like the orange-winged dove.
Sing the song, sounds like it's orange.
Why does it sound like it's singing, though? It's singing a song. That song is just full of redundancies.
She's singing.
You're stretching out your lyrics.
Now, just think about it. Dissect it. Sings the song. That's
maybe
cool.
That's why Rob Zombie just sings choruses.
He had one chorus on Lost Exorcista that was classic. It said, this was the chorus of a song. Hey, I got to, oh yeah, come on. And then he'd repeat, hey, I got to, oh yeah, come on.
Though, he?
Hey, I
He's
got
the only
to,
person
oh,
I know
yeah.
that can
come
pull
on.
That. Maybe Diamond Dave. Diamond Dave might be able to pull it off with some wows.
Wow. Oh, man.
Have you been grilling lately? This is my new segment called What's on the Grill. Have you grilled anything lately?
We grilled up some ribs last night, actually.
Right on.
You want to order more rib? They were, my wife said that she didn't like them.
Yeah.
But I did.
Did you
She's
have like
picky.
Memphis style or?
Here's what she did. She pre-baked them in the oven for an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And then we grilled them up. We put a bunch of barbecue sauce on them, grilled them up. But I think they just got a little bit too crispy for her, for her taste. But, I thought they were good.
Right on.
I didn't mind them at all. They were a bit spicy. Pretty good.
Right on. Well, here's what I've been grilling lately. Mayonnaise encrusted Twinkies.
Ew.
Everybody should go out and try that. They're delicious.
Do you ever do you ever make cookies or anything? Brownies?
Yeah.
Cookies. Next time you're making cookies, say oatmeal cookies or chocolate chip cookies, put in 1 tablespoon of mayonnaise.
What?
Say that different. Put in 1 tablespoon of mayonnaise.
It's what?
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 It's gotta be falsetto what?
What?
No. So here's the question. What is in mayonnaise?
It's egg whites, right?
Just eggs and oil.
Yeah.
What's in cookies?
Eggs and oil.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, did you know that the old Duncan Hines, the mixes that you buy in the box or whatever, you can just add water.
Makes its own sauce.
You can just add water to it, but people were so leery about something that you just added water to.
So they thought the stuff that was in there that was mixing with has probably gone bad or something?
Yeah, they're just like, that doesn't seem right. And so they just put oil, you know, you're not going to hurt it by putting oil and eggs in it.
No.
But you don't need to. I mean,
it's like you wouldn't hurt it by putting mayonnaise in it.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever made one of those diet soda cakes?
No, I don't even know what that is.
You take a boxed cake. And then you just pour a diet soda in there. And then you mix it up and bake it.
You don't put anything else in
nope,
it?
Nope, nothing else.
Does it have to be diet?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't like diet soda.
It's like the chemical in there that makes it rise is in the diet or something. But if you do like a yellow cake with like a cherry soda... you know? It's kind
of, it mix the flavor up a bit.
It keeps it more moist, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, it's worth a try. I mean, it's what, like $1.50 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't cook a lot of I don't bake a lot of cakes. But,
we've had some recipes on this one, haven't we? We had some bacon tips.
Yeah, and I said I like the whole piece of bacon. See, oh yeah, that's one thing I was wanting to talk about. I don't know whether you were talking about it earlier before we were on the air about Saturday Night Live and what our favorite.
No.
Did we already talk about that?
No, we didn't.
I didn't think so. We're talking about before we were on the air about what our favorite era of Saturday Night Live was, and it was like, I don't think I could pinpoint it.
No, I got you got Carvey, right? You got my classic is the Carvey, Spade, Chris Rock, Phil Hartman, Victoria Jackson,
late '80s,
John
early
'90s,
yeah. Is that gonna be your if you had to pick one.
Yeah, I think so. So that was kind of like entry into watching Saturday Night Live.
That's kind of like my equivalent of the original Not Ready for Primetime Players, because I'm a bit older than you.
Yeah, and,
So I was watching those, like, say what, I was seven when it came out in 75. So I was old enough to be interested in TV and comedy. I'd heard George Carlin. I'd heard Richard Pryor. And then to see those people come on that show, you know, Richard Pryor was one of the first hosts.
Steve Martin.
I think George Carlin might have been the first host.
I think
host.
He was, yeah.
And so I'm going to have to say that that would be, but there's so many greats in each era. You know, like there was the Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry, Amy Poehler, all those people, which was awesome. It took a little while for them to gel.
It did.
But once they got it, once they got it, they got it, you know. And then there's the thing that happened right after your favorite era, which is Adam Sandler, Chris Rock. Chris Farley.
Spade became more predominant.
Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald, great stuff.
And then, I recently watched
Dennis Miller was great in Weekend Update 2, probably one of my favorite. Well, I don't know, man. Norm MacDonald, I really like him. I know not a lot of people really care for his comedy style.
Did you see his latest called Me Doing Stand-Up?
No.
Dude, you got to watch it. It's hilarious.
Oh, I love Norm, though.
I think it might be available on Instant View on that one website that we always talk about too much and don't get paid for.
He's got a story I heard on a podcast, actually, about he went over to like his best friend's house, and his best friend went out to mow the lawn, and he like banged his wife while she watched him mow the lawn out the window.
Awesome.
Something like that, you know. That might be a paraphrase, but
right. That's too funny.
It is.
But yeah, I'd have to say, just if I had to, it's going to be the first, because like you said, it's the first thing you're introduced to. And then there was always that expectation. And Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo, that kind of stuff was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that because at the point I was a teenager. And then, like, do you remember that show called Fridays? There was a show that was Saturday Night Live-esque that was called Fridays.
I remember Friday Night Videos.
No, but this was just called Fridays. And Larry David was actually a cast member.
Huh.
Michael Richards was a cast member, who's Kramer.
Yep.
And he...
Cosmo.
Had his little... He was a kid that played... And it's funny, I read the story. He's like, I told the crew or the production company, I need 1,000 pounds of dirt. Why? It's for a skit that I'm doing. And so he was a little kid with little army men.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a character that he did. But Fridays was, it kind of stole me away from Saturday Night Live because Saturday Night Live was sucking at that point, like 83, 84. Eddie Murphy had gone off to make movies and...
Mm-hmm. Be the rock star that he became.
Yeah, and then you had that weird period of all those people that you forget that is on Saturday Night Live, like Robert Downey Jr. and the guy from Kids in the Hall.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, and Ben Stiller. And
what was that guy with the Sniglets?
Niglets?
Sniglets. Rich Hall.
Oh, that I almost forgot about that guy. That guy was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, he had those Sniglets, and then they were all a ton of books.
I don't think I remember Sniglets.
I think it was just like he went up to the news desk.
Ah.
And then, I just remember the books.
So talking about Saturday Night Live, we talked about on an episode a while back about Kristen Wiig leaving the show. Remember that?
Yeah.
They made a big to-do about it. Well, now Andy Samberg has announced that he won't be coming back next year.
What?
Yeah. What? That's
right. Well, where are they going to go? Who's going to be the prime time?
I don't know. He's kind of been their go-to guy. You know, he had all those songs with Justin Timberlake. And,
I love
that. What were they called? The Lonely Island?
I think my favorite one, I don't know if it's a Lonely Island one, is that Throw It on the Ground.
Yeah, and there's Dick in a Box.
Dick in the Box.
There's I'm on a Boat, Motherfucker.
Yep.
There's a lot of good ones. But
T-Pain.
And I don't think that they knew that he was going to do it before,
probably.
Or they would have made a big to-do about that as well. But
I
think he's
going to
be
like
one
Jagger.
Of those. He's going to be one of those guys that goes off to make a bunch of movies.
Oh,
probably.
He is. He's got that movie with Adam Sandler, right?
And that's funny because he reminds me of a mini Adam Sandler when he was on Saturday Night Live, and now he's in the movie as his son. So
they should do that father-son thing for like 20 years, and then eventually they'll make that movie where they're the young one's the old one.
Yeah, Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
So that's my boy.
That one with Kirk Cameron.
That's supposed to be coming out next week. So go check out Adam Sandler and Adam Samberg.
That looks fun. They're probably both getting like $20 million.
I think it was on Whitest Kids You Know or one of those funny shows like that. And they said it was a spoof on the intro of Saturday Night Live. And you know how at some point when like the cast got pretty fucking big for a while, like they'd have the main ensemble and then they'd have like some featured players.
28-minute intro.
So they're like, it's Saturday Night Live with Adam Sandler, Adam Samberg, Sandy Ambler. And then they just kept going on with Andy Samson, Samson Anderberg, Anderson Samson. And it just did, and it went on for like at least a minute. And then they'd go on to someone else's name with David Spade. And then they'd go into another era. They're like,
Spade and Dave.
Dated Spave. Adam Sandberg. Adam Sandler. Sandy Samberger. It's pretty hilarious. You ever watched any of that Whitest Kids?
Yeah,
you know?
I've watched a couple episodes.
They've had on the last, I don't know if it was last season, but season 5, they were doing a spoof on the History Channel. It's like, this is the Civil War on drugs. It shows these guys and they're always stoned and then they have a slave working and he's got some good weed because he's from Jamaica. And they're like, why are you working for free? And he's like, it's just hilarious. I can't remember how it all goes, but it's pretty, pretty funny. Hey, did I show you that new celebrity death? Wait, someone's at the door. Oh, it's LT. What's up, LT? Don't come in, dude. Shut the door, please. No, I thought I had somebody gave me an R2-D2 little thing, and I can't find it. So, oh, there he is. Hey, buddy. He's giving us.
Did you ever hear back from Hans?
No. What's in Hans' CD player?
Nothing.
Nope. I'm just getting texts from people.
Must be Barney.
That don't have anything to do. Well, there was one from my wife. She has everything to do with it. But no, we're talking about. On almost every episode, we've had a celebrity death to talk about. So have you heard of a former Fleetwood Mac guitarist, Bob Welch?
Uh-huh.
He killed himself.
What?
What? He was 65 years old, and he shot himself in the chest in his Nashville area home. That was last Friday, a week ago. And self-inflicted gunshot. Yeah, that's weird that he wouldn't shoot himself in the head.
Well, maybe he was thinking about open casket. He was thinking of his family.
Yeah, that's nice of him.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill myself, so I want to think of my family.
Yeah.
No, but a lot of people don't know about Bob Welch. He was part of Fleetwood Mac in the years where they weren't really that popular, you know, 71 to 74.
I know him from when he invented grape juice.
Welch's grape juice is pretty good. I think that was his grandpa, though.
Oh.
And I think that might be why he killed himself, because his grandpa wrote him out of the Welch's will.
Yeah, no grapes for you.
See, and he got replaced by the super group double teamer of Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
Lindsey Buckingham, famous for his appearances on What's Up With That?
What's Up With That?
Back to Saturday Night Live. What's Up With That? And they never have time to get to, that's the third guest, and they never have time to get to him, remember? And he's always happy. He's like, yeah, his head's bobbing. He's got a big smile on his face. Yeah, it looks like we're going to have to wait and get to you next time, Lindsey Buckingham. I feel so bad. What's up with that?
Is that guy going to carry the news? Is he going to be a mainliner?
I don't know. I hope he doesn't kill himself because he got...
No. Is that guy... No, I was talking about that... What's up with that guy being the main guy for Saturday Night Live now?
Kenan Thompson?
Yeah.
He's always been a pretty big... But, you know, I've noticed one thing about him. He's funny.
Yeah.
But every character he plays seems like the same person.
Yeah.
What's he's up just with like that? This guy that talks funny, even when he's trying to play someone else. He played O.J. Simpson, and he's just somebody
Can
else.
Can you do 9 movies of What's Up With That?
Well, I wouldn't doubt if they made that into a movie. You see the one that had Robin Williams and fucking Robert De Niro? Robert De Niro was getting pissed.
Was he?
Because he'd try to talk, and then he'd say a word, and he's like, educate. All right. I'm feeling it, and I'm doing it. And then he'd start singing the song, and Robert De Niro is just like looking at him like, stupid. I'm trying to answer the question. Next thing you know, he's dancing around and that jogger dude is out in his jogging suit. And you got Kenny G on the fucking saxophone. I don't wonder who wrote that because that's like so crazy that it's funny. But,
it is.
I don't even know what's up with that. How did we get onto that from a dead Bob Welch?
I don't know.
That's weird. But, yeah, Bob Welch, I think he killed himself because he was excluded from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction in 1998, and it took him 14 years to finally kill himself. No, no, but
well,
he...
Who had excluded him, the band or
I think it was the
hall?
Band. It just said that...
The band?
It said that now they want to write me out of their history. It hurts. So I think it was the group.
What was the... What era was he with?
He was 71 to 70.
Era?
No, it was previous to that. 71 to 74. He was on three albums.
So what hits were out of his era? Do you know
just
any?
Just that Sentimental Lady. Sentimental Gentleman.
That's fucking Fleetwood Mac.
Well, he re-recorded that in 77 because it was his like
that's
his
such
saving
a penultimate group. Like 70s tune, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and then you got a
penultimate. That doesn't even make sense.
Penultimate. That's the previous to the last one.
Yeah, that's the previous to the last 70s song.
Yeah, it was released in December of 1979.
Like, I don't know. You got the disco ball going on yeah. with that song, huh?
Yeah, for sure. And then he did Ebony Eyes. But, yeah, he was suffering from health issues for years, and he left a suicide note.
It's got to be the open casket reason, right?
It seems like it.
Why else
like
would
we
you
said,
shoot yourself in the
well,
chest?
Why would you care what your family thought if you're going to kill yourself anyway? I don't know. But, so we've been talking about death enough and bummers. Let's talk about something funny.
All right.
You got anything funny? Oh, I guess we talked about it on the last show, on Wednesday's show, when we had our guest Chris Castles, that Nathan Brannan was the winner of the Helium Comedy Contest.
Yeah.
And I called Anthony Lopez. I even called it on the air, but he didn't even make it to the finals. It was, now I'm not going to be able to remember the other two runners up, which sucks for me, or it sucks for them, actually, but I was just wondering, any way to segue into some kind of a comedy bit here, not a comedy bit, but to talk about comedies, because I was... reading the other day that Woody Allen has a new movie coming out next
oh, really?
Year. And I'm not a big Woody Allen fan.
I watched a couple movies.
Normally I wouldn't even care. Saul Rosenberg from the Jerky Boys got me into Woody Allen because
uh-huh.
he kind of was charactered after him. But this one caught my eye because now Woody Allen has cast both Louis C.K. and Andrew Dice Clay in this new movie of his.
That's an odd pairing.
Well, it's odd to me that it's comics because even though Allen was a former stand-up comic, he rarely cast comics in his films.
He played the clarinet in a jazz band, too.
Wow. That's pretty cool. He also molested his stepdaughter or something. I don't know. I always got to go somewhere
well,
like
he,
that.
He thought she was 25.
I think there was only four other movies that I came up with that had stand-up comedians, and it was Lewis Black and Hannah and Her Sisters. Robin Williams was in Deconstructing Harry, which I did watch, which I want to rewatch because I think it was good. Will Ferrell was in one, and Larry David. You told me you'd watched Whatever Works.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. It fit Larry David really well. It's not like an action flick or anything. It's watching an extended Larry David kind of episode, you know? It's cool. It's a funny movie. It's got some good parts in there.
I've never watched it, so I'll have to check it out. But
I think it's on Instant Watch.
Oh, then I will have to check that out for sure. So there's no details released on what this movie's even about or how big these two people's parts are in it.
Nice
it has
man.
Alec Baldwin is in it and Bradley Cooper, which are both pretty huge stars at this point.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin doing very well these days.
And I think that
Came back from that one thing with his yelling at his daughter, right? You remember that big fiasco he had? He like a voicemail of him yelling at his daughter.
I think I missed that.
And then it was all bad publicity from. It was before 30 Rock, and now he bounced back.
No,
I think
I think I missed all that stuff. But
that's probably good.
But Louis C.K.
SNL classic. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Alec Baldwin for sure. The spawn of 30 Rock, pretty much.
Yeah.
But Louis C.K., I think, is one of the biggest comedians out there right now as far as popularity. And
hard-working guy.
Yeah, and he recently released his latest DVD on his own website and sold over 200,000 copies, I think. He made over $1.5 million and gave his whole crew super big bonuses and put a lot of the money to charity and whatnot.
That's cool.
Because he's like, I've never had $1 million or ever... If anyone's familiar with Louis C.K., his attitude is just totally $1 million. What would I do with $1 million? I'm just a regular person, you know, but, I think it'll be great for him to have a part in that movie because it's kind of a legitimate acting thing. I mean, he's been in other movies.
You know, his series is pretty funny, actually, you know.
And you haven't heard a lot from the Dice Man.
No, you haven't.
So at least that'll be good for him to get out there.
Celebrity Apprentice, when he was scared that his bros would see him in the pink hat for breast cancer.
Oh, I'm not wearing that shit.
Yeah, he wouldn't wear the fucking hat.
That's too funny.
It's like, come on, dude, you're playing for charity, right?
And I remember when I first saw Andrew Dice Clay, like the first stand-up I saw before Ford Fairlane, he comes out and does that bit about, so I've got my tongue up this chick's ass. And people just instantly laugh because who says that? And then he tops that with, you know what it's like standing in line at the fucking bank? And I'm like, who is this guy and what does he think he's doing?
Hickory dickory
dock. Yeah. The chick just sucked my cock. No, I didn't. Hey-o.
Yeah, but, he tried to bring back the little
And
man,
Ford Fairlane
he?
Was a classic movie. I mean, I own it on DVD now, had it on VHS, and I'm just surprised that Woody Allen would actually cast him in a movie, but must have saw something in him.
What's up with that robot movie that Woody Allen made? You know which one I'm talking about?
Having a flashback to it. I caught it on a TV channel of some sort.
Yeah, I just remember the box that's got him dressed up like an alien or something. It's called Robot.
And it was from the 70s or 80s or something, right? And it was supposed to be like futuristic or some weird shit?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That's pretty weird. But, that movie's going to be coming out at some point next year.
That's cool. Probably one to watch out for.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan. I am a big fan of Louis C.K.
Support
CK,
the
but,
comics.
You know, I'm a big fan of some other people. I just watched a movie with Jack Black. We've talked a lot about Jack Black. He's a cool dude. He's in a movie called The Big Year. Have you seen that or heard of it?
I have not.
It's a bird-watching movie, dude. It's the weirdest thing.
Weird.
Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson.
That's sounding familiar now. Is it a Wes Anderson movie?
No, it's a PG movie, not PG-13, which is, you know, weird. But it's all about bird watching, and it really tells a lot. I guess when you have a big year, you witnessed with your eyeballs the most amount of species in 365 days. And it's weird to me that these bird watchers, you don't have to have a picture of all of them, just the rare ones. Yeah. And as long as it's kind of like the honor system, and you write them in a book, oh, I just saw a red team.
Like how many rocks
I just saw a white-winged dove, you know. Oh, oh, there's a red-booted snow goose. And like, so like, I learned of all these
species.
Was this
species. Like a mockumentary? Or
no, it was a movie, and it was just about Jack Black going up against Steve Martin and Owen Wilson, and it was just, I don't even know why I watched the whole thing. I guess
it sounds
because,
like one of those dry, like, it seems like a Wes Anderson style movie.
It might have been. I don't even know who did it, but I don't really recommend it. Unless you're an avid bird watcher. If you're a bird watcher.
What if I'm a Steve Martin fan, comedy wise? Not like a Father of the Bride wise, but like a Man with Two Brains wise.
I think you would be disappointed because it just seems like a weak premise, I guess, for bird watching isn't funny. They go from Alaska to Florida to California to Maine to Texas.
I love old Steve Martin.
I do too, but I don't know what he's doing with this whole big year thing.
I don't know. You'd be surprised, like Jack Black. He's probably on like a lot of kid shows on Nickelodeon.
Oh, he is. He was on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah. Yeah, all those stars, you'd never see him unless you... You got younglings running around.
Yeah, which I normally don't, but I don't know when we talked about it, but that little kid, Jaden, that I was watching, he watches a lot of Nickelodeon with Yo Gabba Gabba, and I saw Fred Armisen on there the other day. And did you ever have, like, kids, like nephews or nieces or anybody that, like, when they're so little, they're just learning how to talk and they can't pronounce your name right, and you ever get a funny nickname?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever get one?
Probably, but I don't recall it.
I'm Kepi.
Kepi?
That's how you say Terry. Kepi! So that's a weird name, Kepi.
Yeah, it is.
So he's like, oh. And so we've got this big Foo Fighters poster that we won from some stupid contest. It's like a cardboard. It's not a poster. It's like a press board thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's on our wall there and where our dinner table is. And as he's eating, he always looks up and he sees Dave Grohl. Uh-huh. And he thinks it's me. Because he has long hair and facial hair or whatever.
Yeah, and he calls him Kepi.
Yeah, he'll be eating his food and he'll go... He'll point up, Kepi! And then when I walk in there, it's Kepi. Kepi, what's up? I'm starting to call him Baglo Rockety. He's like, looks at me weird. Black Oregon. Like, that's how I say Jaden. Kepi. Kepi. I thought you maybe would have one from, like, some kid or... That's the...
yeah.
Roasted.
It's like I probably did.
I'm
just not coming in. Nothing's...
Dustin.
Yeah, probably.
I remember we had a little nickname for you. It was a... Nuts and Satchel.
Yeah. That was classic.
You keep your nuts in a satchel.
That was the 19 Limbs name, right?
I believe so. And I don't know what episode it was. We were talking about vinyl records and talking about, I don't even know. Oh, we were talking about my friend Tim Wilkinson coming over.
Uh-huh.
What do we got for time? We good? Tim Wilkinson came over and brought me some records, and he gave me a Frank Zappa Shut Up and Play Your Guitar 3-record set.
Nice.
And he let me borrow some punk records with Jello Biafra and the Descendants and No Means No. He also left me this thing called the Rock Bible. It's unholy scripture for fans and bands.
Uh-huh.
And I got a lot of good, what should I call them, LOLs. I was reading, that was one right there. See, I was laughing out loud, you see, so...
Yeah.
Let's look at the table of contents here, and it looks like a little Bible.
I'm a little bit scared that one day I'm going to start... When is the point that I'm going to say LOL instead of actually laugh? When's that point to where you're going to say LOL?
You know how much less energy is exerted by saying LOL than...
No, well, you'll probably just say LOL. At one point, you'll just go LOL, and you'll just be... It'll be over.
LMAO. Dude.
But are you talking about the band?
Nope, I'm talking about ROTFL.
My mom today, she was listening to Moves Like Jagger.
Is that by Maroon 5?
I don't know who it's by. So what's give me something out of
So they've got some funny things. We'll pick on the drummers first.
All right.
The reason that this is the Psalm of the Drummer, verse 1. I wish I had some church background music. The reason there are so many drummer jokes is because drummers really are certifiably crazy. There's no such thing as a drummer / songwriter.
Yeah, I was wondering about the verse one.
Generally speaking, girls should not play drums. Drummers should never touch guitars. Now, being a drummer means you never have to say you like John Bonham. No kidding. You play the drums, Dumbo. So it's just basically rips. There's some funnier stuff. I kind of wish...
Some one-liner kind of stuff.
I kind of wish that I would have went through it and picked out, like, maybe highlighted some stuff, but...
Well, I don't know if you're borrowing the book, right? I don't know if you want to highlight
it. Yeah, I don't want to highlight, but here's a song of the chops. Drummers should learn to play the drums before they learn to twirl their sticks.
I'm not so sure I agree with that.
And never use the term ghost stroking when referring to your drum playing. It sounds like you're beating off a ghost.
Well, I've never even heard that term.
No rolling drumsticks on the floor at a music store to check for their consistency. And then
does that happen?
Yeah. Or they usually do it on the counter. Like you do with a pool stick on the table.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, but I was like, on the floor, that'd look weird.
And here's some quotes from the Book of Live Performances. It is your drum kit. No one must help you carry it unless you pay him. However, it is acceptable to befriend at least one unsuspecting sap / fan to carry your hardware bag to the van. And here's one we've experienced and tried to enforce and came to near blows and people calling each other fat. No breaking down all the drums on stage and putting them into cases while another band that people actually paid to see is waiting to set up.
Yep.
Okay. Don't polish your cymbals thinking that it has anything to do with sound check. Drummers are the only members in the band allowed to bring a rug to play on.
Or piss on.
So we don't just want to pick on drummers, you know. Drummers, they're cool. Who else can we pick on? Sniff.
How about harmonica players?
How about the crew?
All right.
The Psalm of the Crew. Ooh. If it's green, smoke it. If it moves, fuck it. If it doesn't move, put it in the van. Wow. That's a little rough. Didn't like that one. That scared me.
Yeah, you'd have a lot of dead things in the van.
Yeah. If you're playing a small club, there is never a need for you to use a flashlight to clear a path through the crowd to move your equipment.
I'm going to do that one. Try that one out.
Everybody thinks they're funny. Most people aren't, especially sound men. Yeah, I think I'm funny sometimes. Most sound men should have their ponytails clipped off and fed to them.
Whoa.
Sorry, Jeff Simpson. You should have came back. We went out. So I'm going to get some excerpts. Yeah. I can't even talk. But yeah. I just wanted to touch on that a second.
That'd be a good segment or something.
Yeah, just maybe we could do quotes from the Hard Rock Bible. Yeah.
We'll post a link on our website, too. If people want to go and buy that, we'll get a little kickback if you buy it on Amazon.
Ooh, I bet that is available on Amazon.
And you'll probably get the best price you're going to get on it. You'll get quick shipping to your door. And we'll get like a quarter from it.
At least.
So buy like four copies.
That'll give us
$1.
It looks
like a good book.
Yeah, and then you can give them out for presents at Christmas or something.
Yeah. Buy them now before they go up in price because it looks like it's going to go out of print.
Oh, no, she didn't.
What? Who the hell is that girl? Okay, so yeah, if you do go to Amazon, make sure to go to our site first. It's tagcastpodcast.com, and there's a little Amazon clicker link thing in the right hand corner.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you anything, but it supports us.
That's right. It'll get us some kickback.
And that means anything that you want to buy there. You know, if you want to buy a new garden hose or a new garden gnome.
Garden gnomes?
Yeah, or a garden gnome hose.
Gnome hose. No homo. No homo. No homo. Okay, where are we? Are we to a point where we need to start doing any plugs or anything like that?
Yeah, let's do our plugs.
Plugs, 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 plugs. We're gonna make up some little songs for our segments because we do have some recurring segments. We've got the talking shit segment. We've got the plugs segment.
Or maybe send us one.
We've got the what in news segment where I tell Gatch a story and he says what.
Yep, he tries to make me say what unsuspectingly.
And then he
at
just
some point in the podcast
stands up really fast and runs off. Get back here.
That was my pre-run. I was just getting warmed up and I was about ready to speed off.
Like pre-Fontaine run?
Yep.
That's a long one.
Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, that was kind of a Fred Flintstone-y kind of thing, wasn't it? All right, so yeah, we got some shows coming up. My band Griefhammer is going to be playing up in Portland on next Friday, a week from today, June 22nd, at the Tiger Bar, which is 317 Northwest Broadway. That's right, 2 and 2, like Chuck Woolery says. It's going to be $6 at the door. I was mistaken when I said 5. 9 p.m., 21 and over. We're playing with Wolf Pussy, which makes your fingers smell weird, but I've been waiting to play with Wolf Pussy since I was
give
a kid.
You Harry Palms.
We got Doom Sower and Pink Zilla rounding it out, and I think we're playing first
or second.
Sounds
like a good show.
Doesn't matter when we play, though. You guys should just come and watch the whole show.
Yeah, watch the whole show. Those are some awesome bands.
Yeah, and Rod Black, he's a great promoter of metal and rock, the Chronicles of Rock Radio. Maybe
you
could.
You guys got to support.
We're only going to mention your website a couple more times, Rod, and then you got to pay for promotion, all right? We're rolling out some freebies for y'all. And then the next night, which is a week from tomorrow, Saturday, I'll be opening the show for Seth Milstein, who is featuring for our headliner, Todd Armstrong.
Friend of the podcast.
Yeah, he's been on here. But Todd Armstrong is a real funny guy from up in Portland, and he just recently filmed his first DVD. He might have copies of that for sale if the production has been finished. But he did a couple of comedy festivals out in New York, so he's kind of coming up. He's one of those guys who quit his job and just he's doing comedy full-time, which is pretty awesome. I wish I could get to that point. I'm not there yet, but working on it. And then 2 weeks from tonight at the Wandering Goat, which is all ages. It's a coffee
shop. Where's
it
going?
It's going. Wandering Goat. Wandering Goat. He's wandering away. That's 286 Madison in Eugene, and it's all ages, so bring the kids if they're into foul-mouthed comics that talk about masturbating and coming on their stomach and just flaking it off in the morning. Seth Milstein, you gross non-Jew. But anyway, it's going to be a great lineup. A late show, 10 o'clock, so you know, get a babysitter, put the kids in bed, come down, have some Ninkasi brews and maybe drink
or
some coffee.
Or come set your drinks on your kids' heads while you enjoy some comedy.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, wait, and then the next night after that, man, we're chocked full in June here. June 30th is Saturday. We talked about this early. Paper Train, Gnosis, Black Hair.
It's going to be a fun show.
Which is like a black bunny, not like black hair.
Get a hold of Paper Train and buy some tickets for a live local loud music festival.
Yep, Sons
of Confusion. $10, 20 bands.
not to undermine their, yeah.
June 30th.
Yeah, $20, 10 bands. Find them on Facebook, Paper Train.
Yeah, and June 30th free at the Dixie.
Yeah, we'll be playing with them in our band Sons of Confusion. And so you can come out and maybe pick up a copy of Three Feather Pimp or maybe just rock out with us.
Some shirts from
whatever
March.
You want to do. And I'm not sure if we mentioned this on the show with Chris Castles, but we got a benefit for Boomer's Dog. I don't think we mentioned this on
the air. I think you guys talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't think, were we on the air when we talked about it?
Sure.
Oh, I guess so. Well, yeah, Boomer's Dog. Maybe. Oh, because you gave me a what? That's right. Boomer's
what?
Dog got stabbed 8 times.
Oh, that's fucking right, man.
So we're doing Will Woodruff is putting on a benefit for Boomer's Dog, and that's in Independence, which is kind of west of Salem over by Dallas. And
that dog should start rapping because 50 Cent was shot 9 times. And
I know.
That gave him cred.
I wish I could remember the
dog.
That
dog's got some ghetto cred.
He's pretty hard.
Yeah,
let
him
know
he should start rapping.
Yeah, so there's going to be a ton of good comics to donate. Their time, yeah.
And
it's
and
a pizza.
Dog will be rapping.
It's called Independent, or it's called Indie Pizza, which is kind of funny. Hard
Indie,
to
is
say.
That the name of the place or the name of the festival?
That's the name of the pizza place that this is. They have a little room in the back where they do comedy and stuff.
That's cool.
So I'm trying to remember the address here, but it's not on there. It's on Main Street. Independence is so small, you'll just be able to find it. Indie Pizza. Yeah. And then the next night, Saturday, July 7th, we're getting a little bit down the line, but we want to remind everybody about this show in particular because it's the second comedy showcase at the Dixie Creek Saloon.
Come
with our host, Dustin Gatchel, will be the MC of the whole event. And
Word.
We're going to have Don Frost down from Portland. We're going to have Joshua Finch and Carmichael McGee and our buddy Seth Milstein up from Eugene. I'll be doing a set as well. So that's going to be a free show.
That's awesome.
9:30 at the Dixie, where you can go anytime.
Yeah, and order a cheese bacon burger when you're there.
Hey, and if you guys are listening to this and you go to the Dixie, tell them Tag Cast Podcast sent you.
Yeah.
Or say Terry and Gatch sent me.
Yeah.
And that way, if they hear that, then they'll be more apt to re-up on their advertising campaign.
Tell them we said they get a nickel off. You get a nickel off a drink.
Yeah. And then when we go there, we'll just give them their nickel back.
Yeah.
Nickelback. And I think that's it. Oh, wait. Friday, July 20th. That's still even farther down the ride. The ride, which is life. Lame Fest is going to be out in the woods a little bit east of Salem at the A-Frame. We'll be giving you more information to this. There's going to be like 20 bands, including death metal, punk rock, doom metal. There's going to be some rap bands. There's going to be some DJs that are not dubstep, or so they say.
Yeah.
I heard of a new thing now. They said they're drumstep. Drumstep.
I have no clue.
It's like house music mixed with some other. But anyway, and then there's going to be a dedicated stage for comedy at that as well.
Nice.
And Jesse Priest hooked me up with that. So Jesse Priest will be there doing some jokes, and I'll be telling some jokey jokes too. And that's all day, all ages, free.
Right on. That sounds great.
How is that lame? It's a weird name, Lame Fest.
Speaking of all ages, this Sunday, come on down to the Dixie is Catechist Unplugged.
Oh, Sundays in June.
Yeah, and then...
is Lyndon going to be there?
Lyndon Wood's going to be there, and Joe Woosley from Catechist is going to do an acoustic performance, and Joshua Jamie from Brutos. I do believe that'll be outside, if it's weather permitting, at least the first three bands.
They've had a couple outdoor shows so far at the Dixie,
and
it's awesome.
They're wanting to do some more Sunday matinees rolling, so if you're a... you got a solo or a duo acoustic act.
Hell, even if you have a 10-person acoustic act, come on
out. As long as you don't require some sound or whatnot. But go out there. It's all ages until like 7 p.m.
Is that only on Sundays or is that every day?
No, that's every day.
Awesome.
You're just not allowed in the pool gambling area.
So that's kind of cool because it's kind of like
you can
a dinner place.
There's outside a huge lawn.
And like on Tuesdays, they have singer-songwriter night. Yep. Wednesdays, they have some blues jam.
Mm-hmm.
And you could bring the kids out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it starts before 7, but you could come down there and get a burger. They got great burgers, great fries, great drinks.
Mozzarella.
Great
steak.
Service. And that's all you get, Jake. We're going to stop talking about you now. No, just kidding. No, we love those guys down there at the Dixie. They've been very,
very
supportive.
Friendly to musicians.
Very supportive of the Northwest music
scene. It's right on Highway 99. It's like a little hidden gem.
Yeah. And it's been there for years. It used to be a honky tonk bar for years. And then it was kind of a meat market karaoke DJ place. And now it's just a nice place to go that feels like home, or like you said on a previous episode, kind of like a house party.
Yep.
You're just hanging out, talking with all your friends.
Yep. Family by day, rocking by night.
It's got a nice covered area for smoking outside and whatnot. So go down there and check them out. They're the Dixie Creek Saloon, 32994 Highway 99 East. It's just about 5 miles south of Albany. So should go check that out. And I think we've just about, we're probably over an hour here, huh?
Yeah, and just to note, Albany doesn't smell anymore from after the paper mill closed, right?
No, it just smells like Springfield now. Which, I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but it just smells like meth and Four Loko.
Right on.
No, it doesn't smell like that out by the Dixie, though. It just smells like cow patties and sunshine and rain and burgers, and it smells like rock and comedy and blues and metal.
Oh, I wanted to give a plug to my friend Dale. He recently opened up a taco shop over by Safeway, I heard, Dale Taco.
Ah, I heard that that dude is crazy and that he serves French fries with his tacos.
What?
I know. I thought you're supposed to only get tater tots, a.k.a. Mexi fries. Which, why aren't they tater tots?
So you get crinkle cut fries there with a taco and a burrito.
Where else do you go get tacos and get regular fries? Nowhere.
Except
Jack in the Box. I guess you could get fries.
They got the Carl. Those aren't tacos, though. Those are nasty.
What are they? Jockos?
Those deep fried tacos at Jack in the Box?
I've never had them. I've just heard about them.
They are nasty, dude. I wouldn't even bother.
Are they like those mini tacos that you used to get from the hotbed?
Frozen mini tacos that they just dump in the pre-made, that they just dump in the deep fryer that just soak in grease. But
sounds
if they
delicious.
Get you got the Carl's Jr. green burrito combo, you might be able to get yourself a French fry taco.
Why do these restaurants team up so much?
I don't know.
And this is weird. A&W KFC. It's only letters. A&W KFC. What? It's like www.anwkfc.com. We don't want to say whoever A&W is. Or
send us what that stands for.
Kentucky,
we want to know what that stands for.
Chicken. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
All right. We're out of here.
All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 9.
We'll see you next week.
Go to iTunes and rate us if you would.
Yeah.
If you like us. If you want to rate us bad, I guess you could do that too. But
no,
don't. No?
Just don't even bother. We only want positive reviews.
Just don't even tune in.
Yeah.
Speaking of tuning
in. Well, you can tune in and download.
In
I want you still to subscribe. Just don't rate it.
Yeah, just download it and don't listen to it so we get more downloads.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to head out right now.
Sounds great.
We're really appreciative of our listeners.
Yes.
We've got more than we thought we were going to have, and that's more than we could ask for. So have a good one, you guys.
Yep, rock on.
And metal.
Set up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.